This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Verses 1-10. A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, the title of this message is When the Lions Are Hungry. When the lions are hungry. And I don't want to keep anyone on the edge of their pews, you know, wondering what the title's all about. So I've been in conversations with people lately, and it just keeps coming up everywhere I go and what I read in the news. And just when you go about your daily lives, you can't avoid it, that there's this concern of, will we have food this in the near future? There's this concern of rising prices and inflation and food shortages. So this message, it gives a little bit of an insight into how we can approach this. But the big idea of the message is this, that even if all earthly necessities are unavailable, if we seek the Lord, our Heavenly Father will take care of us. Even if all earthly necessities are unavailable, If I seek the Lord, our Heavenly Father will take care of us. This message is to help us to imagine yourself, if you were plopped down in the middle of the Sahara Desert and you had absolutely nothing and you were there, this message teaches us that you can say, those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. And it's very unique to the context of this psalm. You see, if you read the heading of the psalm, it talks about David, and it's a little odd, but if you read what's going on in 1 Samuel, you'll find out. We're not going to turn there, but it's pretty self-explanatory. David pretended to be crazy. Literally. You see, he was chosen by God to be king of Israel. However, Saul wasn't happy with that, who was the king that the people wanted. And Saul, who had the Spirit of the Lord depart from him, wanted to kill David and just get rid of him. And so David fled for his life, and he left everything behind. Everything that he had, he left behind. And he thought he could find refuge in a pagan nation nearby. But when the king of that nation heard that David was there and that he was basically the anointed of God or the one that the people praised, David's life became threatened. And David, who was at his wit's end, pretended that he was at his wit's end and pretended literally to be crazy. The Bible says that he scratched at the doorposts and that saliva was running down his beard. He just He pretended to act wild, and so the king eventually said, "Get rid of this guy. Just get him out of here. He's going crazy." And it's interesting, keeping that in mind, it's interesting that when that happens, when David's at rock bottom, he writes this, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles." I mean, this is in the midst of when his life is on the line. Saul wants to kill him. He's running for his life. And he says, "This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." And then in verse 10, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Amen. It just seems odd. Why would David say something like that when he's literally, I mean, right after he left this pagan nation, he goes to a cave and lives in a cave. And the Bible says that all the discontented people rally to him. I mean, it's kind of a funny scene. And here he's writing, "Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Do you want that kind of a faith and experience in this life? I know I do. And so we'll look here at verse 10 primarily. The Bible says, and David wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger." The young lions, he writes. Maybe he was in the wilderness and saw young lions at work, going about their lives. We don't know. But to David's mind and heart, through the Holy Spirit, he says the young lions lack and suffer hunger. Now, why did he write about the young lions? Well, when we think of young lions, we think of creatures that are like the king of the jungle, right? We think of those creatures that are on the top of the food chain, really. I don't know of any animal that has lions as their main course on a regular basis. A lion is at the top. A lion is the king. And particularly, David writes here, the young lion. That is a lion that's in its prime. A lion that has power and strength. When you picture that sort of a creature, you think there should be no issue with a lion finding its food. He's king. He can get it when he wants it. He has the power and ability, agility and strength. He has the means. And when I thought and prayed about that, I thought, you know, I kind of picture like our nation being a young lion in the world scene. We're kind of at the top of the economic food chain, in a sense. We're a superpower, a king of the world, if you will. When we want food, what do? Well, for me, Alicia might be cooking something or making something. Oh, I forgot that one ingredient, you know. I say, okay, I'll go get it. And I just walk out my door, go down a block to the Piggly Wiggly, walk inside, grab the thing off the shelf, open my wallet, take a little piece of paper or a little piece of plastic and pay for it and leave. Very easy. Now, mind you, I had to work to make the means of paying for that, but the process, you understand, is easy. In fact, in the last couple decades, it's become ridiculously easy that you don't even have to leave your home. You have to labor and strive to go on Amazon. and type in a few items, and by the click of a button, something arrives at your door, you open the box, there it is. We've been a young lion. We've had abundant provision. And in all honesty, we Americans have taken it for granted. Have we thanked God that He provides us with food? Have we thanked God that He provides us with the clothes on our back? Have we thanked God that He provides us with a home to live in, a vehicle to travel with, a job to work, income to receive, a place of worship that we can come and meet to openly? Have we thanked Him? Have we realized that it is from Him? Do we take for granted these things? Are we like a young lion that's proud and thinks that it just can get it whenever it wants? No issue. Men, before our meals with our families, do we ask God to bless the meal and thank Him? Although the young lions are generally well off, the text shows something odd. And I didn't mention there, that was the first point. The young lions are generally well off. Here's the second point. Although the young lions are generally well off, there is no guarantee that the young lion will always have food. There is no guarantee that the young lion will always have food. For the Bible says the young lions lack and suffer hunger. Even though the lions can get their food easily, there's no guarantee. And ultimately, they are dependent on God. Turn, if you will, ahead to Psalm 104. This psalm is a beautiful psalm. It talks about God's provision for creation, His work of creation, how He created all the birds and trees and animals and everything. And it talks about how He cares for, or He's over it all. And it says in Psalm 104, verse 14, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, vegetation for the service of man, that He may bring forth food from the earth. Cattle, man, are dependent on God. Wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread which strengthens men's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. And then it says this in verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. The young lion is dependent on God. When the sun rises, they gather together, lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and labor until evening. And then it summarizes it in verse 27. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand and they are filled with good. You hide your face and they are troubled. You take away their breath. They die and returned to their dust. All of creation is dependent on God. And there is no 100% guarantee that the young lion will always have food. Sometimes God allows there to be a famine, a season when all of creatures don't have the food that they need. And we don't know why God does these things. God is a good God. He's a righteous God. Sometimes he comes in judgment on a nation, like you see what happened with the nation of Israel when they sinned against him. He came in judgment and removed the natural blessings of rain for their crops. Or maybe sometimes he wants to strengthen the faith of his own children and have them rely on him more and depend on him more. But we see in the Bible that there's no 100% guarantee that the young lion will always have food. We are, if we are a nation, a young lion that has power and means and ease access to our necessities, there's no guarantee. And as I brought up earlier, we've been hearing a lot. I hear it all the time. I read about it all the time. And I see it myself when I go to the store. There's something going on. You hear about supply chain issues where items are coming just in the nick of time. You hear about and realize in your bank account the mass increase of inflation where goods are costing 10, 20, 30% more than they did a year ago. And no knowing whether it's going to continue even at that rate. You see our weakened leadership in this nation and you realize that we are vulnerable to attacks from the outside. China and Russia, Iran and North Korea have their targets set on this young lion of a nation. You hear rumors of things like EMP attacks, where our grid system, power grids, water utilities, or banking industries. We live in an age of technology where people can come in through a cyber attack and totally throw this world into chaos. Just the other day, I was with Alicia. We were in the grocery store and we were getting a box of oatmeal for Finney, and I looked and the shelves where the baby formula belongs were empty. The bottle here, a container there, empty. And I read up on it and found that 29% of all top-selling formulas are out of stock at stores across the nation. Roughly 3/4 of infants in the U.S. receive baby formula during their first 6 months. That's a problem. And someone might say, oh, the mother can just, you know, feed the baby naturally. Well, not all women can do that. And what's going to happen? What is she going to do? Or you hear about the fertilizer issue. I read this on an article from Worldview Weekend that CF Industries, which is the nation's largest manufacturer of fertilizers, is warning its customers that fertilizer shipments will be delayed and may not reach farmers in time for the critical spring planting season because of a move by Union Pacific Railroad to limit the volume on private boxcars carried by its rail lines. This disruption in the delivery of fertilizers comes at a time steadily escalating food prices at grocery stores nationwide due to supply chain disruptions, war between Russia and Ukraine, China hoarding global grain supplies, weather-related crop failures and other issues, all adding up to a perfect storm for global famine. If the farmers can't get their fertilizer, they can't grow their crops as productive as they have been. And if they can't gain their yields like they have been, there won't be as much food. And if there's not as much food, but the same amount of people who need the food, there's going to be a problem. There is no guarantee that the young lion will always have food. And we've been blessed to have this kind of a culture. Our culture is used to the restaurant. When I worked at a restaurant in Rhode Island, there were people who would go to that restaurant to eat. Like, they just went, or not that restaurant, but they go to other restaurants. They wouldn't cook at home. There was one lady, she said, I don't cook at home anymore. We just go out to eat. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but imagine the culture that we're in. And now we see all this global turmoil, and that culture is being disrupted. And we can point to, you know, ungodly leadership and poor administration decisions, but honestly, the church is partially responsible for this mayhem. We've taken for granted the blessings of this freedom in America, and we've neglected our calling to uphold truth, to spread the gospel as salt and light, to preserve what's good, to be active in our communities, to shine the light of Christ. We got used to the provision, and we are now partially reaping what we have sown. And in these conversations, it is often brought up the idea of, you know, the Bible says the end times, there will be famines, and we see things lining up. I agree. But I don't think that we as a church are called to promote and cause those things. I think that we are called to promote and preserve truth and righteousness as much as we can, as long as we can, until our dying day, and leave those things up to God. But even if we give all our time and energy to spreading the gospel, even if every single believer in America had revival, there is no guarantee that the young lions will always have food. Did you know in this text that the term young lion has a very unique meaning? The term young lion in David's mind often means the unbelieving world. He writes, young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. There's a contrast there. Turn back, ahead, if you will, to Psalm 35. David wrote that psalm as well, and he says this in verse 17. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. He's not talking about feline beasts. He's talking about the ungodly, his adversaries, the unbelievers. Or jump ahead to Psalm 58, if you will. Again, a psalm written by David, and he says this in verse 6. If you go back to verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. So he's talking about unbelievers. He says this in verse 6, break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. This message is not intended to scare us, it's intended to encourage us and prepare us. But if the young lion is hungry, the young lion will do what it can to get food. The young lion will do whatever it takes to get food. You see, in the early church days, if you were a Christian, that meant that your life was on the line. And often the case, there were these Christians who were asked to call Caesar God or Lord. And if they didn't, they were taken prisoner. And many of them were put into a Colosseum-type environment where they would be put on as a spectacle to the unbelievers. And there were many Christians who were fed to lions. Now, those lions that they put in the Colosseums and such, they didn't give them meat before the Christians were released. They were made very hungry. If a lion is full, you can put it in a ring with a person, you could dance around the lion, he's not going to bother you. But when the lion is hungry, it's a different story. And if we think of our country, we need to remember as believers that the unbelieving world do not have God as a refuge. And so when the lion gets hungry, things will be a different story. Now, I think if what we hear and see is true, the logical conclusion would be to prepare. Do what we can. And we've been having conversations about, you know, can we like garden everywhere around the church? Like, you know, turn the grass into a big garden and get as much food as we can. Or you hear these companies that you can purchase food that'll last for like 25 plus years. And so we don't, you know, we can have that kind of stored away. But the problem is we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know the spectrum of what may happen. It may be the case where it's just there's this economic turmoil, and it's almost similar to like the days of the Great Depression, where there were people who were okay, things worked out okay, but there were many who, they were struggling. They lost their homes, their livelihoods, they were hungry. And it was difficult, and the church stepped in and helped. And I see that as a possibility. But if it gets to the point where we're having a complete, total, chaotic environment where there's no food, it's going to be ugly. When Jerusalem was taken over in AD 70, the Roman Empire surrounded Jerusalem and cut off food supplies, and there was no food. And the people went mad. The young men would gather together and form bands, and they would go from house to house, and they would raid the homes, and if there was any food in the home, they would take it. And if the people resisted, they would eliminate them. I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't mean to be a prophet and predict what's going to happen. I think we can do what we can to prepare. I think that we can make plans. Families are responsible for families. The church family is responsible for the church family. And then we're a witness to the community. It starts in your circle and it works its way outward. But there's no guarantee. And so this is what's important, brothers and sisters. The fourth and last point. The gospel guarantees that even if all earthly necessities are unavailable, if we seek the Lord, our Heavenly Father will take care of us. For David says this, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Although earthly provision is not 100% guaranteed, God promises to take care of us. God promises eternal provision and protection for His children. And God does not break His promises. God does not turn His back on His word. God means what He says. And I and you, as His child, have to believe Him and trust Him and hold dear to His word that what He says, He means. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 21. Jesus is telling His people around Him that things are going to get tough. And He's also pointing ahead to a future day when things are going to get very tough. And in Luke chapter 1, Jesus is talking about there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. He says in verse 12 in chapter 21 of Luke, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you, persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought out before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it'll turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. And he talks about the Holy Spirit giving them words. But look at this. In verse 16, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. It looks like a grim picture. But then Jesus says this in verse 18. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. That doesn't make sense. He just said they're going to put your own relatives, bloodlines, are going to put some of you to death. But don't worry, not a hair of your head will be lost. And obviously when we hear that, we think, okay, Jesus, you don't mean that literally. I know that isn't literally, because every time I look in the mirror, I'm realizing that it's not literally. What does Jesus mean when he says, not a hair of your head will be lost? He says, if you're a child of the living God, it's going to be okay. All this stuff will happen. It's a testimony so you can spread the gospel, but in the end, it's going to be okay. God is going to take care of you. You will be His. He will ensure that you will have healing. He will ensure that you will have provision. He will ensure that you have protection in the life that matters most, the eternal life with Him. Now look here, if you will, and back in our text in Psalm 34, he says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Bible tells us that that promise that God will give you what you need for the time and take care of your soul for all of eternity comes from seeking Him. And you can kind of picture, you can see the picture here. You see David is seeing the lions and they're groping on the ground and they're hungry and they're sniffing and they're trying to find any bit of food that's around, but they can't. And then he says over here, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. So if you want that blessing of provision, protection, and He will care for you, no matter what, not a hair of your head shall perish, that it's going to be okay, he says, seek the Lord. Almost as a lion seeks their food. Search for it. Sniff it out. Take your time to seek and grope and find. As a Christian, do you seek the Lord in your life? As much as you seek your food, and you seek your work, and you seek your provision, do you search after the relationship with God that you are able to have as if it was your very dependence in life? Because when you do, and when I do, there's something that happens inside of us that no matter what happens out here, we are at peace. And we say, God, You'll take care of me. And though I just had to fled a pagan nation and act crazy, and though my own people don't care about me and rejecting me, those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. And when you do that, and when I do that, people on the outside see that and they think that's something mind-blowing. The world is chaos. There's no food. People are going crazy. And you are at peace. That is the power of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said it. He was abandoned by his own people. He had it all going for him as a Jew. He forsook that for Christ, persecuted, impoverished, often went hungry. He was thrown in jail. And he says this, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I now know how to be abased. I now know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that the kind of experience that you want in this world? That's the kind of experience I want, and I want for the body of Christ. So that when that day comes, if that day comes, we shine. Telling the world that our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in God. And we will trust Him. So brothers and sisters, we are blessed with this provision. We're not 100% guaranteed, but the Bible says, even if the young lions suffer hunger, if we seek the Lord, God will grant us eternal provision, and we will lack no good thing. We do what we can, but if after all means of doing what we can, the young lions still are hungry, will you be ready? To say to your unbelieving neighbor that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And will you say, like Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me? And that's going to create a chain reaction in which people are brought into the kingdom in droves and numbers because they see that God will give everything good to those who seek him. That's the power of the gospel. That's the hope that you have and I have in Jesus Christ. Let's come before him in prayer. Father God in heaven, if we did not have your promises, we would be hopeless. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the promise. Help me as an individual to understand the time we live, what you want me to do. The church that we are a part of, Lord, give us wisdom, Lord. Give us discernment. Help us to understand. We do not need to fear the world and its circumstances. We want to trust you, that no good thing do you withhold from those who seek you. Father, as we enter into our communion table, I pray that if anybody has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would, Lord, and they would receive your promise of provision. Help us, Lord God, to shine as vessels of the gospel in our day. In Jesus' name, amen.